Last week we were in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 22. How many of you were here last week and can remember it? How many of you went to life groups and enjoyed it and loved it? And yeah, it's cool. It's good. This Colossians, I'm enjoying it. It was all about what is God like? That's what we learned about last. And how do we know what God is like, especially when we can't see him? Remember we talked about this last week and at life group and so on and so forth. Can you remember what it is? How do we know what God is like? We've got the picture of Jesus, and it's really clear in the Gospels and the Bible what Jesus was like. And we had a whiteboard up here last week, and we realized all the awesome things that Jesus is. He's loving, and he's kind, and he's just, and he's for us, and he wants to heal us and bless us, and he's not a weakling. He's strong, but he's compassionate, and all those awesome things. We realized that, hey, that's actually what God is like, and we don't have to walk around in fear of God. We just have to respond to his promptings and his love and just flow with his spirit and enjoy him, enjoy a relationship with him. And just to remind you, Colossians 1 verse 15 told us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Isn't that awesome? You know, when we know a little bit about Jesus, what he was like, who he was, we get a picture of what God is like. Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of God. And last week we also learned that Jesus was the creator, and he holds everything together still. So Jesus, I think the ultimate conclusion that Paul is bringing to the Colossians is that actually Jesus is God himself, God made flesh. And I think we need to understand that there's no one can stand alongside Jesus, no other prophet, no other good religious man of any kind can stand beside Jesus. He's alone with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is God himself. So we're going to continue on today. We're going to read in verses 22 and 23. We're just going to look at two verses today. And so let's read them, shall we? And see what God's going to say to us. We're still in chapter 1, verses 22. We covered verse 22 last week. We're going to recap, then we're going to go into verse 23. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Then in the next verse, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Isn't that cool? Now, I don't know whether you noticed between verses 22 and 23, there's a little line. See that little line there? Well, I want to tell you that today my message is about that little line. Okay, so we're really digging deep today. What's that little line there for, and what does it mean? What do you think? And it's often in the Bible, there's that little line between sentences or statements or verses. Now, I've done some research into what that little line or that little dash means. And the best part of my research was yesterday morning, because I really had no idea what that actual little line is or means or what you even call it. I rang up Ben here because he is the man when it comes to knowing about English and how to put words together and what things mean. And he got really excited when I started talking to him about this little line, because there's some meaning around it. That small little line is actually, it's got a name. And it's called an M dash, E-M dash. That's what that little line is called. Now, there's three kinds of little lines. Now, we put that up on the screen there. We've got a hyphen. We're familiar with a hyphen, right? And then there's a slightly bigger one, and that's called an N dash. And then there's a bit bigger one again, which we've got here in Colossians, which is called an M dash. You're learning. Is this exciting, guys? Isn't this cool that we've been able to learn this stuff? And now I just want to just quickly tell you, is your Chapman Smith hyphenated? It is. All right, see that first one up there, that hyphen? Between Ben's surname, Chapman and Smith, there's a little line. And that means that the Chapman and the Smith are linked together, that's right? Two words become one in that sense. So that's what we know what a hyphen does. An N dash, you know what an N dash does? It is actually to indicate inclusive numbers. Like you might write down 1-3. What does that mean? That means 1 to 3, right? And if you write down, want someone to think about numbers 1 to 100, you write 1-100. We know that that means 1 to 100, right? So that's what an N dash is for. It's to join numbers together. It's just like a hyphen will join names or words together. An N dash will join numbers together. But an M dash, that's the most exciting of the lot. Because an M dash joins ideas together. That's why it's bigger. And so the M dash, I've learnt, and this is what Ben told me, is actually like a dramatic pause. When you're wanting to say something and you're wanting a dramatic pause, you put a line like that across. And we might just put that one up now, just so that, this is what we're going to study today and learn about, get excited about, is a little line. Right, that, see? Isn't that amazing? Let's give it a clap. All right. Now, it's longer than a comma, but it's not as long as a full stop. You know, it's like a pause, this dramatic pause. A comma, when you're reading through something and you come to a comma, you just pause a little bit. But if you come to a full stop, that means you actually pause completely. That's the end of a sentence. That's the end of a statement. And so you stop. But an M dash, it's in between a comma and a full stop. You pause and it's dramatic, but it's not a complete ending, okay? Because there's a continuation. And what an M dash does actually is link the next part to the part before it, before the dash, clarifying that the second part, in our case, verse 23 in Colossians, that the second part is not a new idea or separate to what has gone before, but it's actually should be included in that concept. Do you get it? So there's a lot of significance in that little M dash. And I had no idea about this before yesterday. I've been sort of thinking about this during the week. What does that little line really mean? And it's sort of been bugging me, and I kept coming back, and I got so excited about it, I thought I'd better ring Ben and find out. So that's why, probably none of you, did any of you know what that meant? I mean, apart from Ben? A few did. Barbara does. All right. The rest of us are learning something. Isn't that cool? Okay. But yeah, we just need to realize that what comes after is tied to what came before it as a qualifier or as an explanation to the first bit. This is not just an interesting intellectual exercise, guys. There's something in this. Because this means that Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23, with an M dash between them, actually belong together as one thought, as one statement, and not two separate. With a thoughtful pause or a significant pause between them, or a dramatic pause between them, but not a full stop. Because there's a continuation of something here that God wants us to know. And it's pretty awesome how the Bible translators use these little things that we've got in the English language, and half the time we don't even know that they exist. So today I'm going to talk about the significance of the dash, or a little line. And it really is much more significant than we've probably ever realized. One day, unless Jesus returns beforehand, every single one of us will most likely have a headstone or a plaque where we're buried, or our ashes might be, and it will have a date on one side, which is the date that we've been born, and then it will have a date on the other side, which will be our last day on this earth, and what goes in between. An end dash. A dash goes between the two. And what does that dash represent, do you think? The dash in between represents all the days of our life. Isn't that an interesting thought? Do you think that little line or that little dash could be a wee bit more important or significant than what we've thought? Do you think your life counts for anything? Is my life important? Is your life important, do you think, to God, to our friends, to our family? And it, all it will be represented by, pretty much, on the tombstone is just that little line. But it's incredibly important because actually it represents our whole life and everything we've done from the moment we were born until the moment that we die. And God is incredibly interested in that space between, that dash, and I'm sure we are as well. So how's our dash going? That's the question I want to ask you guys today. Dash well? Dash struggling? And we're all at different place. Hopefully our dash is more about having meaningful relationships with each other and with our Heavenly Father than it is about the size of our bank account or the amount of things that we've accumulated from the time, the first date to the last. You with me? Do you agree with that? There's some significance in that dash if it's based around good things like relationship and friendships and love and encouragement and an exciting, awesome life where God is at the center and other people are just love to be involved as well. Because we can make that dash whatever we choose, really, can't we? We can make it about a lot of things and a lot of stuff that actually will just get burnt up at the end and we will be thinking, well, that was awesome, but maybe I should have spent a little bit more time with my grandkids. That's something I've been challenged about lately. Today is the 3rd of December. I'll just chuck that bit in there. Yeah. Okay. That awesome, by the way. Today is, I'm not biased at all. Today is the 3rd of December. How far away is Christmas? 3 weeks tomorrow. Tomorrow, 3 weeks, and it'll be Christmas Day. And hopefully we'll be all at Te Uku, we'll be worshipping God, having an awesome time and with our families and so on. Christmas in the park. We've been thinking and planning for this now for 2 years, haven't we, Ben? Well, sort of. How far away is it? 2 Sundays' time. 2 weeks. And we've got Christmas in the park down at the Te Kaupua. Where has this year gone? Really? Who would like an M dash right now? A significant pause. I was thinking I could do with an extra month right now. If we just put everything on hold and just push the pause button for a month, and we could just chill out, we get everything organized and everything perfect for Christmas and get everything tidied up and finished, and wouldn't it be awesome if we could just do that now and then? The thing is that I think Christmas Day could be like our M dash, if we think of it like that. Because sometimes we think of Christmas Day and we think of all the work, we think of all the pressure, we think of all the presents we've got to buy and the food we've got to get ready and all the family that's going to come Now, sometimes we get sick of this one and that one, and you know, it's a bit of pressure and, you know, and so on and so forth. And we can, and Christmas isn't an exciting thing for us always as we get older. I want you guys to think about the possibility that Christmas Day could be for every single one of us an M-dash, a significant pause in our life. The next 2 or 3 weeks are probably going to be busy, right? Because we're getting ready for that day, that pause that's coming. And once we get to the day, what do? We remember what Jesus has done for us. Remember where it all began. Last week we learned, you know, just how awesome Jesus is, how he came and he took our place and he holds everything together. And without him, you know, we'd be lost. On Christmas Day, we remember that he came, that God sent his son. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it good for us just to stop and pause and think about that and celebrate that? And especially to be able to do it with people that we love the most, our family, our parents, our kids, our grandkids. Now, whānau, I want to encourage you guys this year at Christmas to have an M-dash, right? To stop. Don't do anything that you don't have to do on Christmas Day. Just get to come to church and worship and celebrate and just gather together with your family and just have an awesome, special celebration day. And then after the M-dash, what do? We can go on holidays. Most of us have 2 or 3. If you're a dairy farmer, we'll just milk the cows for a few weeks. Don't do everything else so much. Just do the basics. Just do what has to be done. And because then we can be busy for the next few weeks. We can stop. We can have our break, our M-dash, where we focus on Jesus, and then we can move into a more relaxing time. And actually, when you think of it, like what Paul was saying in Colossians, you know, the two actually belong together, don't they? The busyness and the preparation and the work, and then the relaxation with a pause in the middle. You get it? That's the season we're coming into, but they all belong together. We can only have the pause and the relaxation because we've done the hard work over the next few weeks. Just a little bit of a thought. Can you see the value or the possibility of that little line in our lives? It can be a significant connecting moment between two different, almost opposite things. You know, busyness and holidays can be connected by Christmas Day, for example. Verse 22, we're going to go back to Colossians. Verse 22, we'll have a quick look at that. It speaks about everything that Jesus has done for us. It tells us up there that, you know, he has reconciled us to God. It tells us that that barrier between us and God is broken down, right? I think that's up there somewhere. Because we're presented holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. That verse tells us that we can have peace with God because of what Jesus has done, and even have friendship with God, relationship, and we can think about what we've talked about with our whole heaven series, you know, that relationship that Adam and Eve lost, they chucked it away in an act, in a moment of rebellion. We actually can, all that can be restored to us because of Jesus. That's what Paul's saying here. We're presented, there's reconciliation, we're presented before God, holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. Isn't that awesome? Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, what we have heard about with communion and through the worship and so on, we can stand before God perfect in his sight, unashamed, without blemish. What do we call that? What do we call that, to be able to stand before God like that? Do we deserve it? There's words that we use. What is it? What are the words that we use when we can stand before God perfect, without fault, without blemish, holy in his sight? Peter? Reconciliation, that's an awesome word, yep. Anything else? What else do we call it? Grace. It's God's grace. We don't deserve all this, do we? It's just something that God has done on our behalf. It's not something we can do. It's all God. It's all Jesus that we can have this. So we call it grace. We might call it reconciliation, as Peter said. It might be undeserved favor. That's what grace really means. It could be, sometimes we call it the gospel. Mercy. Yeah, all those sort of ideas and words and concepts are all tied up in that little verse, verse 22. It's everything that Jesus has done for us, and it's absolutely awesome what he's done for us. And then, is there a full stop? It's not a full stop. What is it? It's an M dash. It's something a little bit, it's not a comma, it's not a short pause, it's not a full stop, that's the end of the story. It's an M dash. So let's look at the next part and see, because there's another part coming that's going to link this amazing grace with something else. So we've got this dramatic pause that we're in right now, okay? Because we know there's a M dash. Oh, hello. That's changed. Oh, we've got verse 23. Yes, that's right. We're coming into the next bit. Aaron's one step ahead of me. Verse 23. If you continue, this is after the dash, in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. See, what Paul is saying here in verse 20, 22 is Jesus has done everything that's required. And now he links that with our part, which is our faith. Not just faith in anything, it's faith in Jesus, right? And not just faith for a moment, something that will continue on. And something that is established. And something that is firm. And something that is unmovable. You put that together with what Jesus has done, and then you have something very, very powerful. Can you see the significance of the dash? And how different, if it was a full stop, we could be into a whole new thought and concept. It's actually linked back to the first part. So there's two parts linked together by a little dash. How important is what Jesus has done for us? Anybody? PJ's nodding. How important is what Jesus has done for us? Absolutely important. It's everything, isn't it? Without what Jesus has done, we couldn't be here. We wouldn't be free. We wouldn't have our sins forgiven. We couldn't become, you know, born again and have eternal life. We couldn't be a partner in the church even. It's everything, really, what Jesus has done. But how important is our faith to God? I think it's equally as important to God, our response to what Jesus has done for us, as God, what God's done for us is important to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses into 6 and 7. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, and there's actually a little dash there which should be an M dash, but on the computer it always comes up as a double one. Okay, so just imagine that's another M dash there, another one further down. That your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, M dash, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. How important is our faith to God? Well, in 1 Peter, we're told that to God, our faith is more precious to him than gold. And the people that Paul was writing to, I mean, we don't go around carrying a bag of gold in our pocket. But back in the day when Paul wrote this, gold was the American dollar of the world. If you travel now, I don't know, I suppose, Andy, is that right? If you've got American dollars, you can sort of go anywhere and buy anything. It used to be when I was traveling. And back in Paul's day, it was gold. If you had gold, you could go anywhere, you could buy anything. Gold was the currency of the world. It was the most precious thing that you could get. And even today, it's of incredible value, but we don't go running around using it to buy things and so on. But back then they did. And so Peter wrote this, and he said that our faith is even more precious to God than gold. And all the people thought, wow, must be pretty amazing, because gold is the best thing going. Our faith is so precious that he even tests and refines it like they do with gold. That's what Peter was talking about. Purifying and strengthening it so that our faith will be established and unmovable. That's what God wants. Right to the finish. That's why sometimes in our journey with God, and I was really interested in Narina's word today of Johnny Erickson Tata. Most of you be aware of who she is. She's a girl that had an accident when she was young. She broke her back, I think, and she's been in a wheelchair all her life. Man, she's had some refining, hasn't she? Through her. She's been through some hard things and some challenges and tough times. But sometimes we go through tests and trials, not because God has abandoned us, but because actually he loves us and he wants to bring out the best in us. He wants to refine our faith. He wants to strengthen it. He wants it to be something that will last and be solid right through to the finish. The ultimate test, of course, is if we have to, some of us, possible, we may have to die for our faith. A few months back, I told her what I understand is a true story of some Christians in the Middle East just not that long ago, who were captured by ISIS. And the ISIS guys, there was 10 or a dozen Christians that they'd captured, and they stood them up one by one, and they said, will you renounce your faith in Jesus and bow down to Allah or whatever? And they said no. One by one, they said, no, we won't. And so they shot them in the head one by one. Then they asked the next guy, will you renounce your faith in Jesus? He said, no. And they shot him in the head, and so he dropped dead. And all the way along the line, they did that. It was just a few months ago. And so these guys were tested in their faith, weren't they? It was solid right to the end. They weren't going to compromise what was the most important thing to them just because of a bit of fear. And the interesting thing is, I don't know whether you remember, the last one in the group that they'd captured was actually a Muslim. He wasn't a Christian. And they weren't quite sure about that. And so they said to him, are you going to renounce your faith in Jesus? Not sure whether he was really a Christian or not. And this is what he said. He was so impressed by the faith of these other Christians. When they came to ask him to renounce his faith, he said, no, I'm with them. Even though he wasn't a believer. He had become a believer in those moments. He saw the strength. He saw the faith. He saw the solidness that these people believed in. And he wanted that. And they shot him in the head too. Probably he was like the thief on the cross. He went from being an unbeliever to a believer and with the Lord probably in a few moments. See, that's the power of faith. When we stand unmovable in our faith, there's power in that. And that's what excites God. Because when we put our faith, our strong faith, alongside what Jesus has done for us, there's some power there. There's a conservative estimate that there are 27 Christians killed for their faith around the world, their faith in Jesus, every day. Some people, they're not sure. Some people, that's a conservative. Some people think it could be 10 times that amount. Every day, 27 people are asked that question, do you believe in Jesus or not? Are you going to renounce your faith in him? And they say no, and they get killed because of it. And there's countries around, it's not just Muslim countries. There's a lot of places in the world where it's very difficult to be a Christian. And, you know, that's really... a test of our faith, isn't it? Hopefully, none of us will be tested to that extent. But I want to suggest to you guys that our faith will be tested. And often it's in really subtle, challenging ways. Subtle tests are sometimes more difficult. Like the challenge just to keep on keeping on and actually telling our friends that, yeah, I'm going to church today. You know, I'm not going to go out and get drunk because I want to be at church tomorrow, you know. I mean, it can be quite difficult, quite challenging. Just and we're going to keep on keeping on even sometimes when we don't feel like it. Last weekend, we had Scott Thornton speaking at Te Uku, and he spent a little bit of time in the afternoon with some of the leaders, and he challenged us, you know, how are we going? How are we going in the busyness and the pressure of being a leader as we come to the end of the year? You know, sometimes as leaders, we can want to contain things, we can want to just, he gave the analogy of sometimes we can want to plug a hole and stop rather than fanning a fire, which will actually create more work for us. And I think all of life is like that. If we're in a business, sometimes we can, if we haven't got the capacity and the ability to bring people around us, to build a team, to do the job, if we're not able to grow, we actually want to shut the business down because it gets too hard. But if we can trust God and we can look to Him and realize that, hey, this is an answer to my prayers. I've been praying for the church to start growing for years, and then suddenly it's starting to be work. Or we can say we've been praying for our business for years to grow, and now it's the pressure is just incredible. It can be like that, can't it? So is our capacity growing? And it's got to be linked in with our faith and inner stuff. And it's just a little, some of the stuff that Scott was challenging us. And I just want to finish with a story. How many of you know of Tark Barner? He's a pastor up in Auckland there and doing an awesome job. And I just read this little article. He wrote a little article about making it through the desert, making it through the challenging times, the testing times, the hard times. And he told a story about a man who owned a farm in Africa. And he didn't say what country it was in Africa, it was just in Africa. And this farmer wanted to be rich, and he had trusted God for a long time. So he must have been a Christian farmer. But he basically ran out of patience with his farming. And as this was a time in Africa when people were making big money from diamonds, actually you talked about diamonds in the dirt with Johnny Erickson, that's what he was talking about here. He sold his farm, this guy, and he went off in search of the diamonds. Think he was going to finally get rich. Sadly for him, he ended up a broken man, unable to find the treasure that he sought. However, the new owner who had bought his farm found an unusual stone in one of the streams on the farm. Apparently, this is a true story, and it turned out to be an extremely valuable diamond, and his farm became one of the richest diamond sources in the entire world. If only the previous owner had held on. But he had no idea the treasures that lay hidden in the soil of his very own farm. He didn't know. And so he went off chasing off after diamonds somewhere else. If he had persevered with what God had given him, he would have found the riches he so much desired. But he gave up. And he went off on his own. Likewise, treasures of immeasurable worth are hidden in our desert, in our hard times. Our challenge is to persevere through those experiences, to stay close to God by persisting with Him. In our church life, our devotional life, our prayer life, our relationship with God, we've got to keep hanging in there sometimes, even when we can't see the results and things are slow. And things are hard, and there's no diamonds, and they seem to be everywhere else. We need to keep confessing that Jesus is our Savior, and trusting him in the bleak and barren place we sometimes find ourselves in. Because actually, it's in those seasons that God's doing the deepest stuff in us sometimes. And while we are there to search for the treasure, it's not an easy road, but it is the pathway to becoming extremely wealthy in God, where our faith gets refined and it gets strengthened, and we just get so solid that we never ever would consider turning away from it. Isaiah 35 says in verses 3 and 4, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. Sometimes God waits, doesn't he? Past the last minute. Because he's wanting, it's not just about the things that he wants to do, it's about what's happening in our heart. And he will come to save you. I think the key is just simply to remember the M dash, actually. And what has gone before. And that's because sometimes what comes after needs to be linked to what's gone before and not kept separate. And if we can remember, I think it would have been the key for that farmer in Africa if he had remembered his faith and trust in Jesus instead of trying to do it in his own way. We've got to keep remembering that what's on the other side of that dash that we might be living in right now is Jesus, our Savior, who laid down his life, not for the fun of it. He laid it down for you and for me so that we can have the riches of heaven as long as we cling on in faith. So the final little slide up here. It's God's grace. And then an M dash in between. And our response to what he's done, which needs to be that well of faith in our hearts. So bless you guys. How about if we stand and just worship God and honor him with our praise this morning. If anyone wants some prayer today, just invite you to come and let's just pray for one another. And if anyone wants to give their life to Jesus, just come on out now as we sing and as we worship. And